This is Jay Sekulow at 2:30, the Chuck Hagel nomination before the Senate committee.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I know he's popular, and I know that he's going to do his best. I'm going to do my best to see that he's not the Secretary of Defense.
So would you threaten a filibuster?
I would threaten to cause a 60-vote margin. Yes, I would. If I took a filibuster, I'd do it that way.
How do you feel about other Republican senators who are suggesting some procedural move to block the nomination?
I think we need all the information from Senator Hagel, but the fact is we have never filibustered a cabinet appointee, and that's why I do not believe we should filibuster his nomination.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Why do you think that the Iranian Foreign Ministry so strongly supports your nomination to be the Secretary of Defense?
I have a difficult enough time with American politics. Senator, I have no idea, but thank you.
That's 1-800-684-3110.
I think there is a lot of convergence in terms of viewpoints on foreign policy and national security between Senator Hagel and President Obama. When you look at their records on different things, it's fairly close. I actually think President Obama is more conservative than Hagel. The Washington Post pointed out that if you look at Hagel's record, it's to the left of President Obama.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Every time I hear them say, to the left of President Obama, I say to myself, how could this possibly be? But nevertheless, that is apparently who Chuck Hagel is. We're taking your phone calls today at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. State of the Union tonight. That's going to be an interesting one. North Korea, the president supposedly is going to call for a de-escalation of nuclear arms in the United States and worldwide, while North Korea sends a nuclear message to the president last night. So that all took place, and we'll see how that plays out. We're taking your calls, and we got to get your opinions and impression on the State of the Union. How do you see it right now? You give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. I'm going to go right to Jordan and Than in Washington to get an update. First on the Chuck Hagel nomination. Jordan, where are we? Then I'm going to get Than some of the backroom politics of what's going on. Where do we see it right now, Jordan?
2:30 p.m. Eastern time, expecting a up or down, it's a straight vote on party line and at the committee, and it still looks like the Democrats are all lining up behind Chuck Hagel, keeping it on track for a Thursday vote. So the filibuster threat would have to get Than a lot more support from the GOP side, which has had some history trouble. We played John McCain in the intro there with the filibusters of cabinet officials.
Yeah, we've got to say this right off the top, Jordan, because you're right. I do think the committee is going to advance Chuck Hagel to the floor of the Senate today, but John McCain is wrong when he says in the open that a cabinet official has never been filibustered. It's happened twice before, Jordan, and guess who was doing the filibustering? It was the Democrats filibustering Republican nominations. It happened under Ronald Reagan. It happened under George W. Bush. So it's happened twice before, and here's the last thing I would say. Republican senators don't want a filibuster, but this is an extraordinary circumstance. This is a nominee who is endorsed by the Iranian regime. I think that's filibuster worthy.
You know, when you talk about an Iran, I mean, think about this for a moment, folks. We've got the nominee for Secretary of Defense, and they're rejoicing in Tehran. That's what's going on right now. They're rejoicing in Tehran. We could end up with this guy as our Secretary of Defense. We're taking your phone calls on the State of the Union. We want to get your impressions of where we are as a country. What does it mean? 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, do we also have and we're getting close to a break here, any update on Pastor Saeed and the situation in Iran?
That's right. Well, we filed written submissions to the United Nations Human Rights Council. We just posted the release up at aclj.org. So that is breaking in the case, taking Pastor Saeed's story and his case to the United Nations Human Rights Council. We can only do that because the European Center for Law and Justice is an official NGO. We are recognized. We have consultative status with the United Nations. So we've done that. It's been filed, and that's up at aclj.org. You can read the actual document.
All right, folks, last day to oppose that Hagel nomination. If you haven't signed the petition, over 200,000 of you have. aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Or you call us right now and add your name at 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. It's simple, folks. No to Chuck Hagel. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Sign that petition right now.
It appears the nomination of former Senator Chuck Hagel for Secretary of Defense is back on the fast track in the U.S. Senate. There are reports that a vote on this troubling nomination just days away. The fact is, Chuck Hagel is the wrong person for the job. Instead of backing Israel, our closest ally in the Middle East, Hagel's actions raise serious concerns about his support for Israel. During his confirmation hearings, he called Iran's government, led by a radical unelected Ayatollah, quote, legitimate. He couldn't explain his vote against labeling Hezbollah a terrorist organization, nor could he explain his decision not to sign a letter of support for Israel. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now. Sign on to our petition urging the Senate to reject Chuck Hagel's nomination as Secretary of Defense. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. At a expanded progressive agenda is what President Obama is going to announce tonight in the State of the Union. So let me ask you this first, Jordan, then Than. How much more expansive can the progressive agenda be of this White House?
Well, I mean, listen, the progressive agenda, you're about to hear for the first time, really, clearly, from the President of the United States. We have not had that yet. We've kind of gotten a little bit of a hint of what it will be like from some of the press conferences, from the inaugural speech. This will be much more partisan than that. I expect to see a lot of half the people standing up, half the people sitting down, and really taking it directly to people on issues from ranging from gun control, politicizing that issue to the extreme tonight, the plan. And, of course, to cybersecurity, which has been very controversial because, again, you go back to the issue like the drones you've been talking about on Fox News. This is an issue where it's not so much what they're doing, it's who's doing it and what they said about the other people that did it.
You know,
it's okay for them, it's not okay for you. It's okay if you have progressive or liberal by your name and you can act like George W. Bush. But if you're actually George W. Bush, you're a dictator then, and you're a human rights violator and a war criminal.
Yeah, that's, by the way, so they're going, you know, they're talking about restricting Second Amendment rights while we're shipping weapons to the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, go figure this out, or sending them over to drug cartels in Mexico, which kind of gives you the sense of what's going on here. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go to the phones, Jordan. Who do we have first?
Yep, right to the phones we go. Let's go to Deborah calling in from North Carolina on line two. Deborah, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi, thank you for
sure.
Taking my call.
Happy to do it.
I'm doing okay.
Good.
I'm a retired military.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for your service.
Desert Storm and Iraq. And I've seen a lot of people killed. And I was where the mess hall got blew up in Iraq.
Right.
And I would like to know what your stand is on these assault weapons that's killing these children and these young people.
Well, it's not the weapons that are killing the children and the young people. It's those that are controlling those weapons or using those weapons. And you look at Connecticut and look at Chicago, some of the toughest, I mean, the toughest gun control laws in the country, and these tragedies still happen. Colorado, the same thing. Why is that? Because doctors can't go to, because of HIPAA, which was put in place under the Clinton administration, can't tell a law enforcement that they think a patient of theirs could be dangerous with a weapon. So I don't think it's not blaming the weapons. I mean, you have a right under the Constitution to the right to bear arms is protected under the Constitution under the Second Amendment. Ask yourself this question. Why are we shipping weapons to the Muslim Brotherhood? To me, that if you're going to ask a question about weapons, Jordan, Than, that should be the question we're asking. Why are we shipping it to the Muslim Brotherhood?
Well, exactly right. I mean, when you're talking about putting a dangerous weapons, dangerous hardware into the hands of people who you shouldn't trust, and you're going to say, well, the assault weapons here. What about F-16s to Islamists? Islamists who have not promised to keep the peace with Israel. Islamists who would happily take down all the churches in Egypt and push out the Christian minority there, who would, who again, say that we should be boycotted our U.S. goods, but they will take our free weapons. They will take the 200 free tanks and mow their people over in the streets. That, you know, we think is, oh, that's a foreign policy. That's a discussion that's different. It's no different. It's the whole mindset of you can't play one and tell me something else. So you don't trust the American people, but you trust Mohamed Morsi. Give me a break. Yes, there are people with trouble in the United States of America, but Mohamed Morsi and all the Muslim Brotherhood, they're way past trouble. They've lifelong dedicated to Islamist takeover of the world. That's their whole position, and they're using our weapons to get there.
And we're giving it to them from money we're borrowing from the Chinese. Hey, folks, we've got the Chuck Hagel nomination up today. Than, give us a sense. I mean, I know there's some serious opposition, but I know this is also a really significant fight. What's your sense of what's going to happen? What are we looking at here?
Well, listen, the vote today that's going to happen at the Senate Armed Services Committee, the Democrats have a two-seat advantage. And listen, Jay, if it's going to be defeated at this level, what would actually happen is the vote would be canceled. So if we have this vote at 2:30, Chuck Hagel is going to advance out of committee and onto the Senate floor. Because if there are Democrats on that committee, Jay, that aren't going to vote for Chuck Hagel, they would actually cancel the vote. There is a small possibility that could happen, but I think more than likely he will advance to the floor of the Senate. So then the question becomes, are there 60 U.S. senators who are willing to vote to confirm him? There are 55 Democrats. You know that two Republicans are supporting him. You also know that Orrin Hatch and John McCain don't really like to filibuster. That still only gets him to 59, Jay. So it would take Republicans to vote for Chuck Hagel on the floor of the United States Senate for him to be confirmed. Harry Reid is going to ask that question later this week, and we're just going to have to see where the votes fall.
All right, folks, here's what we've got. 219,418 of you have signed on to this petition to stop President Obama's anti-Israel, and that's what he is, Chuck Hagel, nomination as Secretary of Defense. Here's what I need you to do today, because Than's dealing with the Senate offices today. We need to let them know exactly how many people have signed on to this petition. So you go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. You can sign it there. We're just a little over 500 away from going ahead and breaking 220,000, folks. Help me get there, ACLJ.org, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We are just a few away from crossing 220,000. Jordan, let's go to another call.
Yep. Melody calling in from Ohio, online too. Melody, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Melody.
Hi, Jay.
Hi.
I'd like to thank you for the work that you do for
thank you.
And stand up for our rights and freedom.
Sure. Thank you.
And I just want to know, how is Pastor Saeed's case going? Is there any movement so far to get him free?
Yeah, good question. And Jordan, let me tell you this. I need to say this. Jordan, Tiffany, Than, a whole group of our lawyers in our Virginia and Washington offices have really been working pretty much around the clock on this. Jordan, let's give everybody the latest update, both the phone call situation and our submissions to the UN.
Sure. I mean, the situation with the phone call is not good. Continuing to work on that, he has not been able to talk to his wife since January 9th. So it's been well over a month. She has not been able to hear his voice. Nagme has not, and neither have the children, a 6-year-old daughter and 4-year-old son. But we have just filed today, actually. It's just been released at ACLJ.org, filed yesterday evening with the United Nations Human Rights Council. Two different, but the text basically the same. You can see the actual document we filed. Submit those electronically to the UN Human Rights Council on Pastor Saeed. And we go through seven different violation of Saeed Abedini's universal human rights. These are the human rights that every country who is a member of the United Nations has agreed to uphold. Now, we know they all don't do that, but these are clear violations. I mean, so clear-cut that it almost forces the UN Human Rights Council and the 47 member states to comment about it coming up next month in March when they meet. There's also one that's been submitted to the special rapporteur on Iran. So two different times, and we're using every venue possible to take Saeed's case internationally.
And part of that, folks, is utilization of our European Center for Law and Justice, our ECLJ in Strasbourg, France. That office is fully engaged on this issue. Let's go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 800-684-3110.
Robert calling in from Maryland on line 5. Robert, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Robert.
Line 4.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jay. I wanted to ask the question, assuming that Chuck Hagel's vote on the Senate Armed Forces Committee, Armed Services Committee, gets out of nomination in the full floor of the Senate, what's the likelihood that they're going to be able to block his nomination on a vote for the full floor of the U.S. Senate if it gets to that point?
Okay, great question, Robert. Than, walk us through the process here, and then I got another question for Jordan, but walk us through the process of what takes place, assuming he gets through committee, when now we're at the floor and Harry Reid calls that vote, what happens?
Well, first of all, Robert's got to understand that there are Democrats that are concerned about that. That was the whole reason we had to delay in the committee vote. So even when the committee approves Chuck Hagel today, it does not mean that all Democrats are lockstep behind this nomination. What happens next, the nomination would go to the floor of the Senate, and Harry Reid would have to try to invoke cloture on the nomination, basically to end a filibuster. It takes either unanimous consent or it takes 60 senators to invoke cloture. So if all 55 Democrats vote to invoke cloture, 5 Republicans would have to join them. And that's what I'm trying to stress to Robert. It takes Republicans and Democrats to confirm Chuck Hagel. That's why we're working both sides of the aisle.
All right, and Jordan, your sense of what is actually going to happen?
Well, listen, could be very close. I think, again, you see the Democrats, they have rallied around that this is somehow a partisan issue. Not so at all. I know deep down, and this shows you politics, that none of them, for the most part, would be supporting Chuck Hagel because his views aren't in line with the left either in America. I mean, they're to the left of the left, so they're kind of outside, so far outside the mainstream. They've gotten out of that right-left paradigm. So, you know, the truth is, Chuck Schumer is a strong supporter of Israel. It's a shame, and he should be ashamed. He probably will be for a long time that he's supporting this vote. I mean, and so should his constituents. It's pretty disgusting as Chuck Schumer and people like that who are strong supporters of Israel who have gotten behind this. So it's going to take more work, but he's going to be a very weak, very damaged Secretary of Defense if he makes it there.
Well, let's take one last effort to try to stop that nomination, folks. Go to ACLJ.org. Or call us at 1-877-989-2255 and add your name to this petition. Hope is not lost. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255. Back with more in just a moment.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. It appears the nomination of former Senator Chuck Hagel for Secretary of Defense is back on the fast track in the U.S. Senate. There are reports that a vote on this troubling nomination just days away. The fact is, Chuck Hagel is the wrong person for the job. Instead of backing Israel, our closest ally in the Middle East, Hagel's actions raise serious concerns about his support for Israel. During his confirmation hearings, he called Iran's government, led by a radical, unelected Ayatollah, quote, legitimate. He couldn't explain his vote against labeling Hezbollah a terrorist organization, nor could he explain his decision not to sign a letter of support for Israel. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now. Sign on to our petition urging the Senate to reject Chuck Hagel's nomination as Secretary of Defense. call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
Secchio Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The Hagel vote and the committee expected at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time. Coming up in the next segment of the broadcast, second half hour, Brian Hook is joining us again, a former assistant secretary of state and was in the Office of Legal Policy at DOJ, as well as a special assistant to the President of the United States, all under George W. Bush. Why has he come out so strongly against Chuck Hagel, and what does he expect this week? We'll talk about him with the latest developments. I mean, this is someone who's been on the inside, who understands U.S. foreign policy, how it translates through the bureaucracy and the structure that we've got. Brian Hook will be coming up next on Jay Sekulow Live in the next half hour. If you don't get that, by the way, you go to aclj.org. You listen online. It's live, and it's absolutely free to do so. We're going to go right to the phones. John calling in from Nebraska online, too, the home state of Chuck Hagel. And, John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, thank you, Jay. I want to give you a little background here. I am from Nebraska. I'm a combat veteran, and I am concerned about the direction that our Defense Department would be taking under the direction of Chuck Hagel. I do have a question for you, and it's a little bit off topic, but I'm just wondering if you would shed some light on this. As being a combat veteran and having experience in war, when you guys put a spotlight on an issue, you guys do amazing work. You know, the defense of Israel, the abortion issues. And I'm wondering if there was somebody who started a organization that executed the principles of Christianity, loving God with all your heart, loving your neighbor as yourself. If there was somebody who started an organization to display God's principles in the Middle East by bringing Islamic, Jewish, and Christian faiths together, sure, would you spotlight that on the air and be an advocate for?
We have. I mean, I've had a lot of people in the Muslim community on the air, John, who are part of the persecuted Muslim community, and the Ahmadi Muslims. And Harris Safar is a good friend of mine, is a Muslim, and understands these issues of persecution. Another one of his good friends wrote a great piece for CNN's Belief blog about how would Muhammad treat Pastor Saeed? What would he do? What should Muslims, how should they do that? Based on the Quran and their understanding interpretation. So, John, the trouble is not the interfaith dialogue that goes on in our own country. I mean, there's tension sometimes. There always is. These are different religions that believe that there are different ways and only one way to seek to reach eternal life in heaven. So when you believe that and you truly believe that they are wrong, or that they believe you are wrong, and you know, it creates some natural tension, obviously. You can do that in the normal kind of Western way, or you could do that in the Middle East. John, let me first say thank you for your service to our country and your combat service to our country. And I think, you know, you bring up a good point. Why can't we do that, right? Why would we not? We, of course, would spotlight it if it would happen. The truth is, you know who does this? The Saudis. The Saudis will pay for all of these different religious leaders to come together and talk about religious freedom, John. Now, in Saudi Arabia, there's none. So you will see the Gulf states, some which are our allies. We were running that drone program out of Saudi Arabia. But they will come together. They will fund millions of dollars. They do it at schools like Georgetown here, where I'm an alumni of it, and the law programs and the interfaith dialogue programs. They've got them all. They're all paid for. Prince this and that. You know, Crown Prince this. And it's done to give cover to nations which, even if that Crown Prince does not support this kind of religious discrimination, the truth is there's no religious freedom in any of those countries except for Israel. There's none. There's no actual religious freedom. There's nowhere. I mean, you could make a case for some about even Syria probably had more religious freedom technically than a place like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Yemen, Oman. I mean, the list goes on. Even some of, again, Kuwait, countries that have worked very closely with the United States, Jordan, as well. You look at Lebanon, that's a place that used to have a religious freedom, unless you live in the half of it that's controlled by Hezbollah now, the Army of God, God's party, backed by Iran. So I think that's the biggest problem with seeing that, well, we could just, if we all just came together, the truth is you could do that as much as you want. But there's got to be a more of a fundamental shift. And it's not just about how they view your faith, John. It's how they view one of their own changing. That's a very different reason. I mean, I believe everybody should have the same right to go try and get me to convert to whatever faith, and you too. And if they want to be on the sidewalk. But the truth is, in those countries, they don't allow that. You know, in Iran, there are churches. They have cameras that the government watches all the time. If you go into one of those churches and you're not an approved Christian, that means you've never been a Muslim before. And the churches don't operate in Farsi. They have to operate in the native languages. So the Armenian church that's there is a good example. The Catholic church that's there, which does the masses in Latin still. Because they're not allowed to even give the message in Farsi. And you've got to have a special identification card to let you into church. If they see on the screen that one of those churches has let someone in that doesn't have one of those cards, the church is shut down. And that may not be the worst of it. You know, that may not be the end of it. So I hope that answers your question. We obviously work towards that. More dialogue. But the truth is, there's not a lot of opportunities outside of our own country in the Western world. And even that is getting tougher and tougher as we get kind of, you know, under the skin a little bit of these issues where, you know, there's no argument whatsoever in the Christian world about what you do if one of your family members leaves the Christian faith or converts to another faith or says they're an atheist. There's no discussion over whether or not it's okay to kill them. In that part of the world, even people who are not as radical in their political philosophy of Islam, there's a discussion, a debate over that. Okay, there's still a debate going on. So I think that is, again, kind of gets to the heart of the matter. Stan, let's get to some more phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. But John, it's a good question. And I think, listen, the truth is you've seen a lot. You've been in the combat. And you realize it'd be much better if we could work towards peace. But unfortunately, this is not just religion we're dealing with. This is also a political philosophy that includes world domination and the eradication of the Judeo-Christian and kind of Western view of freedom and liberty.
Yeah, and let me just quickly add to your point, Jordan. When we do this work at the United Nations, one of the things we tell these Islamic countries are these defamation laws, these blasphemy laws, these are often used against minority Muslim sects, like you're saying. We hear a lot about the Christian persecution. That is the most significant, but it does spread other religions as well. So you're exactly right that we do work across religion lines. Let's quickly go to Irene from New York on line 4. Irene, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Good morning. You know, if Chuck Hagel made the same statements that he did with the Israeli lobby, if he made the same statements of NAACP or any Hispanic lobby, La Raza, this man would never even be nominated. And I'm disgusted with this. And, you know, I heard with Aaron Klein that Chuck Hagel is an organization, Friends of Hamas. This man is so dangerous. I've called Chuck Schumer's office. I am so fed up with him that he's even giving any vote to Chuck Hagel. But what about his foreign money, his speeches?
Yeah, that whole issue, Irene, with where is this funding coming from? You got the Friends of Hamas. You get the allegation with Iran. And Than, the truth was, Carl Levin, again, another strong supporter of Israel, and all these Democrats who have got great records on Israel, that I could not disagree with them on. They have blocked getting more information.
They're forcing the vote today before that information comes in, Jordan. We don't have the foreign funders from the plowshare funds. I think there's probably some very significant reasons for concern within that report.
Now, let me say this. Never get fed up and don't do anything. Take time. Take action. Call now, 877-989-2255. You can weaken. You can damage. You can make Chuck Hagel pretty ineffective, Secretary of Defense, who's questioned on every move he makes. 877-989-2255. He already can't answer any questions. So 877-989-2255.
Hagel's actions raise serious concerns about his support for Israel. During his confirmation hearings, he called Iran's government, led by a radical, unelected Ayatollah, quote, legitimate, nor could he explain his decision not to sign a letter of support for Israel. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now. Sign on to our petition urging the Senate to reject Chuck Hagel's nomination as Secretary of Defense. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
We will fight for the right to live in. Welcome back, folks. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Donald and Tim are both on the line. We're going to get to both their phone calls. Coming up next, by the way, Brian Hook, former Assistant Secretary of State from Americans for a Strong Defense. That's AmericansForAStrongDefense.com. He joined us last week. It was a great discussion about getting closer to the vote that is scheduled today at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The confirmation, which we expect to occur, of Chuck Hagel, the filibuster talk, the issues, the background, the foreign funding. We're going to talk to him about all of that. This is a former Assistant Secretary of State, former Department of Justice in the Office of Legal Policy, a special assistant to the President of the United States, all under George W. Bush. And why is he speaking out so aggressively and decided on this nomination, which is very rare, folks. Let me reiterate, very rare to see this opposition. And, I mean, this is not something that's usual. Yes, you could say you'd probably disagree with a lot of the policy views of most of President Obama's nominees to the cabinet. But the truth is, did you see any kind of opposition like this to John Kerry? Absolutely not. Why? Mainstream. Mainstream, maybe not your stream, but mainstream enough that he was the Democratic nominee to be President of the United States and got a lot of votes. Those are the kind of people, Hillary Clinton, others like that. You know, they you may not agree with them on anything. But to say that they're so far outside the mainstream they should be filibustered is would be a stretch, to say the least. Chuck Hagel, on the other hand, has been called that not by just conservatives, by the Washington Post editorial board, who say he was to the left of President Obama. Brian Hook talked about that. We'll be talking about it again in the next segment of the broadcast. You don't want to miss it. Let's go to Tim, calling in from Iowa Online 2. Tim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello. I have two quick comments. The first is, doesn't this say a lot about President Obama's position regarding Israel for him to nominate somebody like Chuck Hagel? And that just kind of shows some true colors there, I think. And then the second comment, I'm just really curious, I guess, because I've noticed this when President Obama is addressing the media, he'll have a kind of a Muslim or Middle Eastern type of a backdrop. And I'm wondering, you know, what he's trying to communicate with having that type of a backdrop, you know, addressing the nation.
Well, I think, I don't know about the backdrop. I'm not exactly sure the focus. I mean, the White House backdrop is the White House backdrop. If there's one specifically you're talking about, you can point it out, because I'm not going to make the general statement. I don't think I've seen that at all. I mean, I see the same background, the same White House, the same press briefing room. Same, chamber of the House of Representatives where he delivers to the joint session of Congress, the State of the Union, which is tonight, by the way. You know, he's focused on that very much. This is going to be the left to the left. You want to watch this one? It'll be like watching MSNBC tonight. It'll be watching like the 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock time frame at night on MSNBC, because President Obama is going to tick through. You're going to hear it. Liberal, 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 liberal. You're going to say, what? That's not what he sounded like when he was running for office the first or second time. And no, it's not. Now, let me get to your first question, though, Tim. Is this why he nominated him? Because he has these positions? I think so, yes. I believe that President Obama is also to the left of the U.S. Senate. His foreign policy is radical. His background, politically radical. I don't have to get into conspiracy theories. Those are his friends. He comes from the academic left. Let me tell you something. The academic left is someone who is very involved in the academic world. Because of law school and all staying through and going to advanced degrees, the academic left is to the left of the mainstream in America, the mainstream Democrats, the mainstream progressives. That's not what they are. They are radical. They call themselves that. They know they are radical. But at the same time, he's got to love Chuck Hagel as well, because he's going to control Chuck Hagel. He's going to get Chuck Hagel to do whatever he wants, because Chuck Hagel has no idea why he believes what he says, because he could have used that confirmation hearing to do that. You could have said, well, I disagree with him, but at least he could at least back up his policies. Nope. He just reads talking points. He's another former elected official turned lobbyist in Washington, D.C., who doesn't actually know what he's saying. Someone's just telling him to say it, and they're writing checks to his organization to do just that. We'll be back with Brian Hook, Assistant Secretary, former Assistant Secretary of State under George W. Bush. We'll be talking to him. Call 877-989-2255 and take a stand.
It appears the nomination of former Senator Chuck Hagel for Secretary of Defense is back on the fast track in the U.S. Senate. There are reports that a vote on this troubling nomination just days away. The fact is, Chuck Hagel is the wrong person for the job. Instead of backing Israel, our closest ally in the Middle East, Hagel's actions raise serious concerns about his support for Israel. During his confirmation hearings, he called Iran's government, led by a radical unelected Ayatollah, quote, legitimate. He couldn't explain his vote against labeling Hezbollah a terrorist organization, nor could he explain his decision not to sign a letter of support for Israel. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now. Sign on to our petition urging the Senate to reject Chuck Hagel's nomination as Secretary of Defense. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on. A lot of great things happening. And a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Welcome back. You know, it's scheduled for 2:30 p.m. Eastern time. If you're hearing the broadcast live, the committee vote to move Chuck Hagel's nomination forward as a nominee to be Secretary of Defense. We talked to Brian Hook, former Assistant Secretary of State for International Organization Affairs. He was also in the Department of Justice Office of Legal Policy as a special assistant to the President of the United States under George W. Bush last week. He's with Americans for a Strong Defense. It's AmericansForAStrongDefense.com, and they've come out, and he's come out as well, to oppose this nomination and done so very aggressively, which is not usual here in Washington, D.C., when you look at these cabinet positions. But I think in this case, everyone understands now why. There's so many questions, so little answers. And we've got Brian Hook again joining us today on the broadcast. Brian, thanks for being with us.
Hi, good to be with you again.
Let me ask you first, Brian, about the scheduled vote today. It appears that the Democrats, many who had very decent, if not good, records when it comes to the issue of Israel, have been pretty strong supporters of Israel, and certainly you would think would have serious doubts and questions about Chuck Hagel. They're willing to go to bat again for the president, this second-term president. So the arm twisting must have been pretty strong, or maybe they're not as strong as supporters. Whatever it means, it looks like this vote is going forward. What are you hearing?
Well, yeah, the vote, it does look like the committee vote will go forward. What happens on the Senate floor, I think, remains to be seen. This is, I would think, Democrats on the committee have to be very disappointed that President Obama has put them in this position. Because, as you said, there are a lot of very good Democrats on the committee who really understand a strong bipartisan tradition of peace through strength, and defending our troops and worrying about, you know, threats to peace and security that a number of these rogue regimes and terrorist organizations prevent. And they see a guy in Chuck Hagel who just doesn't share their views. And that's why, you know, that's why the Washington Post editorial board came out opposing Hagel's nomination. And it's this is a really disappointing pick by President Obama, and it's put, I think, the left and right in a very uncomfortable position.
You know, folks, we're talking to Brian Hook again, former Assistant Secretary of State, and was in the Office of Legal Policy, gets foreign policy, understands these so much of what Chuck Hagel's been asked about. And Brian, this other issue since you've been on it really has come up, which again, Carl Levin, the chairman of the committee here, did not let the GOP move forward on, said, no, we're not getting any more information. Chuck Hagel's given us enough, is the idea that this these different nonprofits and organizations that Chuck Hagel was a part of and the head of were receiving foreign funding, and there were some allegations that's pretty questionable individuals involved. Now, they listed some of the countries that gave money, but not individuals that had given the money. And there was a question as to whether or not he was being forthright. There were also a couple of speeches that came up that he did not list, where he was, again, it seemed like in one of them he was more concerned about is Israel's nuclear weapons, which they don't confirm or deny. They're just out it's just out there. Than he was a possible Iranian nuclear weapon.
Yeah, this is not sort of a complicated situation we're in. The Senate has an advice and consent role to play for every nomination. All they've simply asked for from Senator Hagel is, please provide us with copies of your speeches that you've made since leaving the Senate, which Senator Hagel said he's given hundreds, but he only turned over four. And then they've also asked, you know, disclosure foreign funding. And this is the same request that was made, you know, to that Democrats had made in prior instances for Republican nominees. So this is not an unprecedented request. There's plenty of precedents for this. And all the Senate is trying to do is to get its arms around what exactly Chuck Hagel has said and what sort of foreign funding has he received. And the answer from the White House is, we've given you everything that you're going to get.
You know, Brian, and we're talking to Brian Hook from Americans for a Strong Defense. He's been speaking out, a former Assistant Secretary of State. For people who are listening to the broadcast now, who are, again, concerned and wondering now, you know, should they call senators? Should they call their senators? I've tried to explain it like this, Brian. We fight every step because we saw last week, since you were on, a delay in the vote. And that's because people were raising their voice, because people were bringing issues forward. Now we see, okay, this part may get through, but then you've got people like Senator Inhofe saying, yeah, okay, maybe the committee votes moving forward. It may go down on partisan line, which means he gets past that hurdle. But we're not having a floor vote on this anytime soon if it's up to us.
Right.
So if the American people continue to speak out, if they contact their members of Congress, it seems like along this way what we've seen is, one, it's had a great effect on Senator Hagel himself, the nominee. I mean, he was obviously under serious pressure when he showed up at those for questioning at his hearings. But then second, you can't discount any possibility along this path.
Yeah, that's right. And, I mean, it is imperative, you know, for us to continue to raise our voices and to express concerns about this nomination, particularly North Korea tested a nuclear weapon last night. And here we have, this is their third nuclear test, and here we have a nominee for Secretary of Defense who last year signed a report hoping to have zero nuclear weapons, or the global zero goal, which is nothing more than over time unilateral disarmament. And so we have a nominee who is projecting weakness to regimes like North Korea and Iran at a time when regimes like North Korea are now engaging in another nuclear test. So this sends, I mean, certainly regimes like Iran and North Korea pay very close attention to these nominations. It's why the Iranian government endorsed Hagel's nomination. They were very happy with it. So you had this odd circumstance of the Washington Post editorial board opposing his nomination and the Iranian government celebrating it.
Yeah, I think that tells you all along, Brian, exactly what this is. We say so far outside the mainstream, which the Washington Post said, it's not he's so liberal, it's not he's so conservative, so right or so left. He's just out there.
Yeah,
and if the
is,
president
he
really
is,
has these views, that's scary stuff. Or he just thinks this is a guy that, you know, is so out there that I can just control.
Yeah, Senator Hagel is virtually alone in the Senate on his voting record on foreign policy and national security. And we have in this country a decades-long bipartisan tradition of presidents sending up Secretary of Defense nominees who are not divisive. And he has sent up one of the most divisive nominees and that anyone can remember at a time when we need to be united. Leon Panetta, Obama's Secretary of Defense, was confirmed unanimously. Republicans didn't have a problem. This is not a left-right issue. This is really an issue of a man's record and a really, really poor hearing that only increased doubts about Senator Hagel's ability to be the right choice.
But we also know, Brian, that President Obama is expected to call for this nuclear drawdown as well. Now, I don't know if he's going to say zero, as Chuck Hagel had supported and endorsed these kind of policy moves to get us to no nuclear weapons. But it does seem like an indication that in the Washington Post, and maybe a lot of the American people, too, because President Obama hasn't made those kind of statements as clearly, though a lot of people had the concerns, coming from a much more radical background when it comes to his foreign policy views and how he sees America in the world. What is America's role in the world? And you look at these kind of decisions, and then you say, well, Chuck Hagel, he seems even more out there than President Obama. But now we know that President Obama is likely to say that we should be cutting our nuclear arsenal, and it's going to save money, so that's good. It won't make us any less safe. It just seems like it's all coming together for everybody who was concerned about the foreign policy views of our president, but maybe didn't have enough to point to directly because he didn't have a long record on it, that it's all coming to kind of the forefront. It's all coming into view now.
Well, tonight, you know, as we all listen to President Obama's State of the Union address, and if he does end up calling for a reduction in our nuclear arsenal, there really is one question that we ought to be asking ourselves. Is there any reason to believe that our embrace of no nuclear warheads will discourage rogue governments from their pursuit of nuclear weapons? And I actually think North Korea preemptively answered that question last night. This is their third nuclear test, and Iran is sort of full speed ahead on trying to perfect the uranium enrichment cycle in their country. So as I look at this, you know, what could be more encouraging to North Korea and Iran than the idea that they will be getting into the nuclear business just as we're trying to get out?
It's exactly what they want. It's why, Brian, that they are celebrating. I want to reiterate that one more time, Brian. We've only got about a minute left. They are really, I mean, this is for everybody to hear loud and clear. The Iranian government, their foreign minister, they are supporting Chuck Hagel's nomination. I mean, they have come out and said they're very excited about this opportunity.
Yeah, no, it's true. They are. And When you look at these efforts, whether it's President Obama or Senator Hagel, they're obviously, you know, the goal is to stop nuclear proliferation, and we all, you know, that's a laudable goal. But by indulging in utopianism, which is really what this is about. I mean, it's just this sort of utopian vision of a world without nuclear weapons. But the problem is that their pursuit is more likely to bring about the very evils that they're trying to eliminate.
You know, folks, Brian Hook has been a great guest a couple of times already. We may need him back again soon. At the vote of the committee scheduled 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The organization Americans for a Strong Defense. Brian Hook, former Assistant Secretary of State, as always, great to have you on. Great insight, great discussion.
Thank you. Good to be on.
Folks, ACLJ.org. If you want to oppose Chuck Hagel's nomination, take that message directly to the Senate. Call 877-989-2255. I think you want your name listed down as an American who stood and said, no, this is wrong. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at ACLJ.org. It appears the nomination of former Senator Chuck Hagel for Secretary of Defense is back on the fast track in the U.S. Senate. There are reports that a vote on this troubling nomination just days away. The fact is, Chuck Hagel is the wrong person for the job. Instead of backing Israel, our closest ally in the Middle East, Hagel's actions raise serious concerns about his support for Israel. During his confirmation hearings, he called Iran's government, led by a radical unelected Ayatollah, quote, legitimate. He couldn't explain his vote against labeling Hezbollah a terrorist organization, nor could he explain his decision not to sign a letter of support for Israel. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now. Sign on to our petition urging the Senate to reject Chuck Hagel's nomination as Secretary of Defense. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. A lot of issues happening here in Washington, D.C. Obviously, we're mainly focused on the nomination of Chuck Hagel, the Senate Armed Services Committee's consideration of him today in committee. We think it's a very bad nomination for a number of reasons, most specifically his positions on Israel, Iran. Listen, folks, his confirmation hearing performance was just incompetent. He wasn't prepared. He did not have a grasp of the issues that the Secretary of Defense is going to have to handle. So we're opposing his nomination. If you want to stand with us in that effort, the number to call is 877-989-2255, or you can go to aclj.org. But folks, another huge issue that's getting a lot of attention here in D.C., we haven't talked a lot about it on this broadcast, but is the president's apparent change of heart on the issue of drone strikes, including situations where the target being struck is a U.S. citizen. It's something that has a lot of complicated issues involved, obviously, including what exactly is an enemy combatant, what actions constitute that definition. Also, what do you have to do to pose an imminent threat on Americans and therefore justify that strike? I think it's abundantly clear that the use of drones has been very successful in the war on terror, but it's especially interesting this week and in the recent weeks since this memo was leaked, because this is a president, President Obama, who railed against the use of enhanced interrogation techniques by President Bush just a matter of a couple of years ago when he was in the Senate. So, of course, it's obviously a much bigger deal when you're talking about targeted killings of U.S. Americans as opposed to just simply enhanced interrogation methods. So Jay had the opportunity to go on Fox TV yesterday with Megyn Kelly, discuss a lot of these complicated issues, including the fact that, listen, the commander-in-chief needs to have this as an option in his arsenal of weapons, but the justification for use of these strikes is obviously something that has significant constitutional ramifications. So let's go ahead and take a listen. This is Jay on with Megyn Kelly on Fox News yesterday.
Well, over the weekend, we heard from some of the growing number of progressives who say they hate what they learned last week about the administration's policy on drone strikes, but they want to support President Obama. That piece was revealed, the policy, in a leaked memo that lays out the legal argument for the president to order the killing of terror targets, even when those people do not represent a direct threat, and even if they are Americans. So there is a new idea for reviewing those on the president's kill list to make sure that the power of life and death is not being used lightly. Jay Sekulow is chief counsel to the American Center for Law and Justice. And now some are talking about drone court, Jay. Drone court. I don't really know what drone court is, but do we need it? And how do we button this up?
I think the problem with the drone court is we're taking the commander-in-chief's role and relegating it to the judicial system for a kill order. And here's the problem. And I know that there's some on the left and some on the right that are going to disagree with this, but if Osama bin Laden would have been a United States citizen and the president of the United States would have ordered a drone strike in Pakistan because that was the most effective way to take him out, does anybody really think we would have need to have gone to a court to get that order? So the answer to that is no. The double standard here, of course, is they were ready to haul off, you know, former Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez and his staff to the International Criminal Court in The Hague, the progressives that you mentioned, because of waterboarding. And now you've got, you know, drone strikes of American citizens, and they're very cautious on how they respond. But I think, look, the president has to have this kind of ability, but it cannot be abused. And the problem that I think that Congress is looking at right now and the American people is this idea of the redefinition of the phrase imminent that was contained in that leaked memo. That is the problem, because it's an elastic definition, and that's what's causing the concern among both conservatives and those that would consider themselves progressive.
You know, I was on O'Reilly a year plus ago talking about this and about whether it was legal. And one of the things they need, if they can't prove that the person is an imminent threat, he can still do it, was my legal conclusion at the time, if he has statutory authority.
Correct.
And the Republicans tried to revise the statutory authority that we gave our president in the wake of 9/11 to go kill those who attacked us in 9/11. Remember, the Congress gave the president authority to do that.
Right.
Then they thought 10 years later, you know, we better refresh that, because all it says is you can kill people who went after us on 9/11. So let's broaden it to people who still want to kill us and are trying to kill us and are affiliated with Al-Qaeda. And the Democrats didn't vote for that. That didn't go through, Jay, in the U.S. Congress. So now we're in this position where President Obama does not have the statutory authority that he wants at the moment.
Well, that brings up a completely separate but important question, and that is there authority under what's been given to the president to execute these orders. Now, I think the argument could be made that as commander-in-chief, he has that inherent right to engage. And I, the phrase imminent has a lot of people concerned. But I want to be on record here. I think the president has to have in his arsenal, as commander-in-chief, the ability to utilize drone strikes that knock out significant targets that are aimed and armed to hurt the United States of America. And the question is going to be, how far does that extend? Well, it can't just be, you know, to somebody walking on the streets of Manhattan, unless perhaps maybe that person was about to blow up the Empire State Building and a drone strike was more effective there. I mean, you've run into this risk of what is the battlefield. But you know what everybody should be wondering right now, Megan? This was the president and this was the administration that did not want to use the words war on terror. They wanted that out of the vocabulary. Yet the entire memo from the Department of Justice is based upon the fact that we're engaged in a war on multiple fronts with terrorists that are trying to destroy us. So, you know, they are using the convenience of the war on terror, and I say convenience tongue in cheek. They're utilizing it as a legal justification for an action that the president's engaging in. I think he has the authority to utilize drones to knock these targets out. But the reality is the double standard here is unbelievable. Yeah. And let's take
a
look at what the Attorney General...
I was there. At Barack Obama's inauguration back in 2009, and one of the biggest applause lines was when he said, "We do not have to trade our ideals," it was something to this effect, "for in exchange for our own security." And that was a criticism the Democrats had of President Bush, that they thought he sacrificed who we were in order to protect our safety. And now we're hearing very different messages.
Of course, that's because when the president was inaugurated, a few days later, he's sitting down at meetings at 6 and 7 o'clock in the morning, getting briefed on attempted attacks on the United States and our United States citizens. We just had that in Benghazi, but a couple of months ago. And all of a sudden, Gitmo doesn't close so quickly. Drones are utilized even more effectively. And the reality is you get information out of these terrorists to protect the homeland. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the reality of being president and commander-in-chief changed the president's views. But take a look at what Eric Holder wrote when he was filing briefs in some of the terrorism cases for the alleged terrorists, and from someone who were absolutely terrorists, not alleged. Listen to what he wrote. Look at what he wrote and now what he's saying. And it is completely different. This is a different administration that's in a wartime mode right now. And I think some of this is because of the reality of the on-the-ground situation around the globe. We're in a very tough situation. But look, at the end of the day, the president has to have the authority to do this. I don't want a court. And I have friends of mine that like the court idea. But, you know, you're a lawyer, I'm a lawyer, and maybe it'll become the Lawyers Retirement Act that we have another court system set up for lawyers. But I just don't think that's the way you can run a war.
You know what we do.
In a secret court.
You know what we do, Jay. Don't get the lawyers involved. All right, Jay, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Megan.
Again, folks, that was Jay on Fox News with Megyn Kelly. That is an issue that you're going to hear more about in the days ahead, the legal justification for drone strikes against U.S. citizens abroad. But, folks, today we're focusing in on Senator Hagel's nomination to be the next Secretary of Defense. Obviously, he was thoroughly terrible at his confirmation hearing. He did not have a grasp of the issues that are going to be required of him. And when he got confused, folks, he defaulted to his own personal positions on these issues, which are even to the left of President Obama's. This is somebody that should not be in charge of our national defense. If you want to stand against that nomination with us, call now. 877-989-2255. Of course, the committee considering that nomination today. It'll be on the floor of the United States Senate soon. Call now, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hagel's actions raise serious concerns about his support for Israel. During his confirmation hearings, he called Iran's government, led by a radical, unelected Ayatollah, quote, legitimate, nor could he explain his decision not to sign a letter of support for Israel. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now. Sign on to our petition urging the Senate to reject Chuck Hagel's nomination as Secretary of Defense. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.